Hey there, loyal listeners. As you know, the HG101 podcast is made possible by our amazing Patreon supporters who help keep the show alive by donating as little as $2 a month. You can be like them. By chipping in, you'll not only help keep the lights on at HG101 Towers, you'll also gain access to our secret patrons-only RSS feed. That's the feed that gets an extra bonus episode every week. Here's a taste of what you've been missing. Cyborg Justice.
Cyborg Justice doesn't even sound like a real game. It sounds like the kind of game that'd be, like, the name of the game, like a Nickelodeon sitcom. Like, oh man, my friend has framed me for shoplifting Cyborg Justice, and I am grounded for a month.
Bone Storm 2, yeah. You're not really a cyborg. What you really are is just a robot. But Cyborg sounds cooler than Robot Justice. Robot Justice sounds like two robots are getting a divorce or something. It doesn't sound like...
If you're like, Cyborg Justice, you play as a robot that punches things and you punch things quite well. Okay.
I mean, justice is served in a very, like, punchable format.
Street justice!
It's not like somebody, like, you punch a cyborg enough and he's like, I've wasted my life, oh my god, I was so wrong. It's not poetic justice, right? So go to patreon.com/HG101 and donate a couple bucks. That's patreon.com/HG101. Act now and be a hero.
Some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge, a lane maintained with a course aimed at colleges. To HG101, we give the honor, thanks to Kirk, a lot of Xerxes to host it proper, as well as Satanga, Cal and Bobinator, Hooker Hart and others discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them, you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure, and look, they wrote a book about it, go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's Top 47,858 Games of All Time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease. And add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames.
Dog's power. Hey, dog's power. Hey, dog's power. Hey, dog's power.
We're on a freaking dinosaur egg!
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. For this episode, we're going to be talking about a game called Saturn Bomberman for the 32X. Wait, let me check my notes. I'm sorry. Saturn Bomberman for the Sega Saturn. It was nominated to us by M. Fedorowski, probably through the slush pile, or maybe it was like a really early Twitter nomination. It was developed by Hudson Soft and 11, and published by Hudson Soft in Japan and Sega in the United States of America. I'm looking at the right one, right? Yeah.
Yes.
For some reason, Saturn Bomberman is listed as a PC game, so I just want to make sure. That's definitely not true, although we did play it on a PC. It was released on July 19th, 1996 in Japan. Who's with me to talk about Saturn Bomberman?
Hi, I'm Bobinator.
I'm Word on the Wind.
And I'm Ray Barnholtz.
Never heard of him, no. So Ray, you might know Ray. He's I guess you'd say you're like Retronauts Emeritus, maybe?
Yeah, exactly. That works.
He's also publisher emeritus of Scroll, easily my favorite video game zine ever.
Wow.
Well, I don't know a lot of them, but I think I have every issue. Okay. And I like them very much. And once a copy was printed out, not so great, and you were very kind of, making sure that the correct one was shipped to me immediately, I really appreciated.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So what else are you up to?
I don't really know. I haven't even done a whole lot in like the last couple of years or so. So how about you say something positive about me that I do and I can approve or deny it?
Well, you've got a podcast called No More Whoppers with your buddy.
What his name?
Alex Frioli, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And he just got married, correct?
Well, he was married. He got officially ceremonied.
Okay.
Yes.
I just saw the pictures. I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And you also are one of our very special guests who makes games. You've made a game. You've got a studio of sorts, right?
Yes, I've made at least one game.
At least one.
Yeah, at least one that we know of. Yeah. Yeah, it's called Blast Rush, and it's on iOS and Android right now. And yeah, I set up my own little one-man company for it called Bipedal Dog, and that's...
I gotta tell you,
that's why I'm here. I don't
know. Well, you're here because we love you. No, you're here because I don't know. Somebody asked you, and you graciously said yes.
True. Yes, I was also on the old HG101 podcast as well.
You were on one of our very first episodes, and it's also one of my favorites because I cannot believe we made you sit there for that whole time. I think we probably recorded for like 3 hours. I'm really bad about that. We will not do that this time.
I don't remember it being long, so don't worry.
I remember that's the podcast where I learned that the little bee from Hudson Soft has a name.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, who knows? We might touch on that again today.
Yeah, we could. So, yeah, Blast Rush is your game. And I was actually searching for, because I wanted to make sure that that was still your first and only game so far. But I checked out, I Googled Bipedal Dog, and I saw a bunch of heartbreaking pictures of dogs with yeah. two legs.
Yeah, well.
So
it's not nothing to do with us.
Were made.
Yeah. No, 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 no cruelty here or anything.
Yeah. So Blast Rush, we might as well just explain what this is. It's kind of like it's like a infinite shooter of sorts. I know there's different game modes, right? There's a
sure.
one that's like sort of like it comes in waves. And but there's another one that's kind of like just a
more random and infinite. Yeah. But the thing, the conceit is that it's infinite bombs. So instead of bullets all the time, you're firing bombs.
Yes.
And so to complement that, we give you a bunch of enemies to blow up, basically.
Yeah. You think that this would like help me not suck, but it doesn't.
You know, it's a careful balance. It's supposed to be instant gratification, but also you kind of have to be good. So.
You do. Which I hate when games ask that of me.
Oh, well.
I don't have the time. No. It's... it also has a cool mechanic that I just wanted to mention since nobody's nominated it. Someday somebody will, and I probably won't embarrass you by asking you to rank your own game. But last time I played was probably about a year ago. But I remember that you could do, because of course it's a touchscreen, so you use your thumb to navigate, right, to move the ship. And if you kind of like shake the back and forth, right, you'll do like a burst from the sides of the ship.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is like a lifesaver if you are coordinated enough to pull it off.
Yeah. I'm not afraid to admit, stolen from 12 Stag.
I would not Stog. Have known
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
You didn't have to admit it.
Oh, well. We'll see how that ranks later, too.
Yeah. So, iOS and Android, out now. Check it out. I did.
Yeah.
I guess without further ado, Saturn Bomberman. So it is Bomberman. It's the most insanely multiplayer Bomberman up to that point, right?
It is the best Bomberman game that has ever been made.
Mm.
I think yes, the only you. One that has been... I'm sorry, please go ahead.
No, you're right. Thank you for saying it. Someone had to, yeah.
I think the only one that's ever topped this one is that supposed 16-player version that no one has ever actually gotten to play. There was a news story about that. I wish I could find it, but I don't have it on my hand at this moment.
It exists, but nobody's played it?
It's like a super widescreen before widescreen.
Oh, you're talking about High 10 Bomberman.
That's yeah. it. Thank you.
I think it was 10 players, so I don't think it was 16.
Or what. I cannot imagine. Yeah.
It's basically, it was the prototype for this, basically.
I cannot imagine. 16-player Bomberman must be like, like just getting 16 people. Like I don't care how wide the screen is. Like you could have like a Darius cabinet.
I mean, yeah, we can launch right into explaining that first off, if you want to.
Yeah, go ahead, yeah.
So High 10 Bomberman was basically like a special Bomberman that was made for Hudson's Caravan events, which was their touring competition thing. Not unlike the sort of Nintendo World Championships, but obviously in Japan, they could get around a little more easily. So they would have the special Caravan games, like the shoot 'em ups. They would have, if you play some of the Star Soldier games, you know the Caravan mode. Hey, also read that off in Blast Rush. How about that?
themes are coming apart.
It's okay. I'm not the first indie game to borrow something from a classic. Come on, guys.
What? My illusions have been shattered.
As I unfurl the scroll, there you go. Look at this. Goes across the room. So High 10 Bomberman was one of the games that they debuted for 1 year of this competition. And it was like also one of the first games to use HD, because Hi-Vision, as they also called it, was invented by NHK in Japan, the TV company. And so they made a game basically to utilize the full resolution of HD. And so they made the 10 player Bomberman. They called it High 10 Bomberman, kind of a dual name there. High 10 kind of refers to high tension or high energy, but you also get the 10, which I believe was 10 players. So that was basically it. And it sort of was adopted into Saturn Bomberman's multiplayer mode, which we'll talk about.
Yeah, so that's interesting. This early HD format, I'm guessing that was like HD, that weird HD that was on like CRT screens.
I don't know exactly. I think it might have been. I don't know.
If it was pre-96, I think it would have been.
Yeah. Rear projection also. Because some of the very first HDTVs that were released commercially were rear projection. So, yeah.
Man, projection TVs. Those bring me back.
Halcyon days.
Plain. I remember my uncle had one of those, and he's like one of the guys got like the best of whatever it was. So he was like using Betamax, even though nobody used Betamax, and got like the Genesis before like right when it came out. Because it was the best. You got to get that. I mean, I think this is our first Bomberman game. Can somebody who has a better grasp of our previous episodes remind me?
Someone did nominate Bomberman Hero previously, and that's one of the worst Bomberman games ever.
Yeah, we can only go up from here.
Okay.
I mean, that doesn't really count, though. That's not...
Yeah, different genre. It is a platformer. This is a...
It's a complete departure.
Bomberman game as... as we know it.
Sorry about that. Yeah, it's a complete departure. It doesn't have any multiplayer, and a lot of its systems are confusing, ass-ackwards, and not worth exploring.
But this is about as standard Bomberman as standard Bomberman gets, so we're okay there.
Just dialed up to 11, or at least 10. it's kind of like Bomberman as a series goes back, I think to at least North American audiences who grew up on the NES, I always as a kid thought about Bomberman as being like, oh, that's like the first Hudson game, but it's not. Like, I thought Bomberman and... Adventure Island were like, oh, that's Hudson. That's where they'd been around a little while before that. But it's also inextricably kind of linked to their Lode Runner port in a weird way, right?
Oh, yeah. Supposedly it's like a shared universe because like in Lode Runner, which did come out before Bomberman did, at least on the Famicom. And yes, I mean, yeah, you do go up against enemies that do look exactly, they use the same sprite as Bomberman. And then at the end of the game, or was it, God dang it, I can't remember if it's the end of Bomberman or the end of Lode Runner, where Bomberman turns into the Lode Runner character.
I think it's the end of Bomberman.
Yeah,
it's like congratulations, like Bomber becomes Runner.
As soon as I said I started remembering. But yeah, so yeah, Hudson, at least on the Famicom, they made them a shared universe, let's say.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't have the Lode Runner license for too much longer either, so.
No, yeah, they made a couple more. Yeah.
They're making bold statements while they can.
Yeah, too late. Lode Runner canon. Can't touch it.
I think it was more like they were just using the most that they could out of what they had in their development tools. It's like, okay, we made these two sprites. We're getting what we can out of them.
They're best friends, clearly.
Yeah.
It strikes me, though, that Bomberman is kind of like, it seems like it was sort of inspired somewhat by Lode Runner and probably also like Heian Kyo Alien, because we got to make sure we mention that one. I think much more so, I think Lode Runner, because Lode Runner is very much about like being able to get caught in your own hoist by your own petard, as it were.
Oh,
like
you're
very easy to die in Lode Runner by like burying yourself alive, which is one of the most horrible fates I can imagine.
Yeah. I like the sound of that. Yeah. I think it's almost like it borrows from both, really. Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely, I mean, it's a top down perspective, but, the idea of like removing blocks, but it's just in this one, the blocks are removed permanently. Whereas in Lode Runner, they always regenerate. Or at least I think in the early versions of the game, at least. So that's kind of, I always wondered whether anybody's ever like interviewed any of them on that. And just like, where did the idea come from?
Oh yeah. I don't know of anything off the top of my head, but yeah.
And the original Bomberman is also single player, right?
That is correct. Yep. Yeah. Single player journey through like 99 levels, I think. Yeah.
So it's kind of like, it's not really the Bomberman that people sort of fell in love with. Because to me, when I was a kid, is like Bomberman was like multiplayer. It was nuts. And we actually had a Japanese kid in my elementary school who had a PC Engine. And so he had like the crazy, like Bomberman head shaped adapter, I think, to well, play. Awesome. Like, you know, that's how we played it. We love that game.
Yeah, I love that thing too.
It's so cute. Yeah. And so this one, yeah, I mean, it is that. I think she had something to say about kind of the, it adds a lot of gimmicks to it, but I guess the games had already been doing that up to that point.
So for those who are not familiar with the Bomberman formula, it is a very grid-based affair wherein you will drop a bomb and after a little bit of time, it'll explode. And depending on what kind of power-ups you have will determine, you know, just how big the explosion is, how many bombs you can drop at once, and whether the kind of utility things you can do. And, you know, as mentioned, you use these explosions to destroy blocks and eliminate threats and move throughout the levels. Saturn Bomberman is notable for pretty much having the best balance of pretty much just about every feature that you would expect from Bomberman, both prior and after this one. They never really quite reclaimed the magic as far as just the way the formula works. And when you go through the levels of this one, a lot of previous entries was like, you know, very tile-based, very, you know, 16 by 16. This is what this tile is, and that's what its graphic represents. And it was, you know, simple. This one has much more elaborate level layouts in their visual design. There's all kinds of custom elements that will only exist on one screen in the entirety of the game. There's like actual like level transitions from one level, like going from the very first level of the game to the next level. You get into like a spinning teacup because it's like a little theme park land and the cup spins to the other side and then you get out. You know, it's like you go to another level by, you know, getting onto a roller coaster and stuff like that. You know, it's much more cohesive, visually interesting, and just, you know, imaginative than any other Bomberman out there.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back. Is it also the first one that had like little cartoon cutscenes, or did it like one of the PC Engine CD?
You mean like the full motion video anime? I'm pretty sure this is the first one with that.
Yeah.
If there was anything prior to this, I am not aware of it.
It would have to be on the PC Engine.
It would have had to have been PC Engine, yeah, but I'm not recalling that being a thing.
Yeah, no, there's all the Bomberman PC Engine games are on card, so I don't think they did any enhancements. Yeah. So yeah, it had anime in it.
I think this is the first time we see Mujo and the Higes also.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, Standard Bomberman introduced the Rogues Gallery, the consistent Rogues Gallery.
Yeah,
let's go down the list. Who are these people?
The only one you need to worry about are the Higes, which are all like the crappy little bandit dudes, and Mujo, who's the guy who runs around in like the red underwear.
Okay, not the mad scientist guy.
No. Although he is also a regular, but he's the far less interesting of the two.
Yeah, so Hige means beard, right?
Yeah, beard or mustache, you know, basically just facial hair in general. So
yeah,
they don't really look like they have either or, but...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, what's the gimmick here? Like, what?
I think they're called that for Mujo.
Fair enough, yeah. I mean, yeah.
I guess, yeah. But, so yeah, I guess the story, such as it is...
It's a romp through time with Mujo and crew going back to the past to do like kind of like a Sonic CD sort of thing. It's like, hey, yeah, there's like these crystals that help you like manipulate time and we can like go back and establish our empire at this point and blah, 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 blah.
Of course. Yeah. He's basically the Robotnik of Bomberman. Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah. Except it's the tiny guy that does the actual machine work. Yeah. He's just a big, loud, visually attracting jackass.
Yeah. I just want to say though, real quick, we can all agree that nobody is playing Bomberman for the single player, right? Or am I wrong in that?
I found the story arresting, positively engaging. I was enthralled.
I mean, the single player is fine. It's just, I've always been really bad at single player Bomberman, so I never really come back to it.
Well, I'm very partial to it, mostly because I didn't always have a lot of friends, so...
I can understand that.
I do enjoy Saturn Bomberman. It does have the best single-player campaign, as we now call them.
Campaign.
Yeah.
The campaign. What's your bomber loadout?
Well, first of all, I play on Legendary, of course. No, wait, maybe that's Act Zero, I'm sorry.
Yeah, if you're going to play a single-player Bomberman game, this is pretty much the one to do unless you're interested in one of the more like unorthodox and weird ones, in which case you might give 64 a crack.
I will say, you know, my top two are this and 94.
Yeah, Bomber 94 for PC Engine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is this the other first that I could think of is that it's the first, it might be the first one where you're not just limited to playing as different Bomberman palette swaps.
I don't know when this one came out in relation to other Bomberman games, but I'm fairly confident Super Bomberman 3 came out prior to this, and you definitely have not palette swaps available.
Does it use like other Hudson characters?
It doesn't use other Hudson characters. It uses other Bomberman series characters.
Are the other characters in this one,
These ones are mascots. Like, you got Master Higgins, you got Bonk. By the way, fuck Bonk. He's an asshole in multiplayer.
I like Bonk.
There's Manji Maru from Tengai Makyo 2. Some other people I'm blanking on. But yeah, a lot of the Hudson.
Like Momotaru or something like that?
Yes, I believe so. Yes, of course. Silly me. How could I forget?
Well, I don't know. He's the only other character I can think of that would warrant a...
big Hudson character, yeah.
The one I kept playing was Miss Honey, who's some cowgirl lady, and I don't know anything about
her. Oh, yeah.
That's good.
Might be from the anime, one of the Barman animes.
Maybe. I don't know.
I just find it weird. I don't like thinking of Bomberman having a voice. Does he have a voice in the anime, or is he like a Kirby-like cipher?
He has a voice, yeah.
If you say anime and you mean like shows, there are multiple shows, and yes, he does talk.
Fun fact, one of those shows actually uses a Seinfeld theme, or what sounds very close to it. Right. I couldn't tell you why.
This was just discovered on Twitter, or at least, you know, propagated over Twitter a couple weeks ago, yeah.
Was that Jetters?
What's the deal with these roller skates?
Oh, man.
Was that Jetters?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, boy, Jetters is a story. So Jetters is a spinoff Bomberman anime that was not based on a game that had a game based on it. And then for some reason, we got that game, but we didn't get the show.
Yeah, back to Saturn Bomberman. So I think you mentioned this earlier, Word. It's like it's got, at least in the multiplayer arenas, have these different themes. So there's like a ninja house thing.
Yeah, that's a pretty standard thing for Bomberman multiplayer to have, like, areas that are based off of areas in the single player that have their own little gimmicks that do their own little things. Like, you know, there's a level that has like a conveyor belt. There's a level that has like little trampolines that'll bounce you around, and you have to be really careful about where you bounce because you might end up isolating yourself and in a suicide's the only way out situation.
The only way out is suicide.
That or having someone, you know, dig you out with their own explosives, and that carries its own brand of risks.
Yeah. So, there's like the space one that's got the weird like body swapping power up that I don't understand what it's
that's
for.
A weird power up. The big gimmick for that one is there's a slow down, normal, and fast forward button. And if you're player 5, you get immediate access to those controls. Have fun.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't think we did all of them because we were doing we tried our best to play as much of the multiplayer stuff as we could this week.
We even had a little community semi-tournament of 5 people, and we recorded that. I did not participate in that directly, but I did do the commentary for it, and look forward to that.
So that'll be
and I didn't win, so I'm going to drop this game like 10 ranks out of spite.
I don't think I won a single match. Yeah, I mean, I think, of course, you could do it with 10 players, but it's kind of hard to do that with an emulator also streaming from somebody's PC.
Oh, that would be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Trying for that. We weren't able to succeed, and given the short, you know, spur-of-the-moment time frame, we didn't really have the time nor inclination to really hash that one out, but I'm certain it's possible.
So, what else should we mention about this game?
Well, we should probably talk about multiplayer a bit more, because that is probably why you're getting this game. And to be fair, the multiplayer is a lot of fun. Should we assume people know what multiplayer Bomberman is like, or do we need to go into that?
I don't know. I was thinking about that. Should we explain the actual mechanics of Bomberman, I guess?
I mean, I explained what the basic mechanics of Bomberman are.
You did.
Just multiplayer is blow them up and don't blow yourself up. That's, you know, the short and the long of it.
Yeah, you need some really great spatial awareness. You need to, like, constantly be scanning the whole play field, basically, to see what other people are doing. So
and you need to it's be almost like to a puzzle game. And you need to be willing to take immensely stupid risks so you can laugh maniacally. Oh, yeah. When they work out.
Yep. I mean, the payoff is worth it.
Yep.
Yeah. It's just to go back a little bit, because I think to understand what makes the multiplayer fun and why it's so perfect for the game I don't want to say it's like the format or whatever you want to call it, the way the game works is like, so going back to LoadRunner really fast, it's like LoadRunner, your only method of attack is also your only way of navigating a stage. So in LoadRunner, you dig temporary holes, and in Bomberman, you plant bombs. And so your bombs are the way you explode obstacles and reveal more of the maze and get to the end. And they're also the way you attack enemies. And they're also the way you kill yourself or your fellow players. And so the bombs explode in a, like, you know, in the four cardinal directions.
A cross shape, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, up. And so whatever, if they touch any, if the explosion runs into anything, it stops. And if that thing is destructible, it'll destroy it, but it won't go any further. And what always happens to me is I keep getting the, you collect power-ups and such. So one of them is like this little fireball dude, and you get one of him, and your explosion just gets that much bigger. So a lot of times, like especially an early multiplayer game will be like you're in a field full of, like, you know, destructible whatevers, bling wads, and you'll plant a bomb, and then you'll run around the corner so that you don't die. And then you plant another bomb, and you're trying to get power-ups, and you can be able to plant multiple bombs.
It's basically your build and expand phase of the match.
It's over, yeah, pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I say build and expand. These things don't go more than 5 minutes.
Right.
So this game has your typical Bomberman power-ups, which are the explosion elongator or whatever.
Yeah, you have the blast increase, the fire. You have the number of the bomb capacity increase. Skates, which give you more speed, and then you start getting into the funkier things like the bomb kick, which allows you to send a bomb over, and if you press a button, you can make it actually stop. I think Saturn Bomberman might be the pioneer of that function. I don't remember that being in any of the prior titles. I'd have to look into that one.
In this one, you can pick up the bombs and just move them, right?
That is the Power Glove power up, which works a little differently in this one than in others.
It's but so yes, bad.
it does let you pick them up, and while it is in your hands, even though the fuse is still lit, it won't explode in your hands.
Yeah,
that's good.
So, I want to say an opinion here.
Go ahead.
I feel like part of the appeal of Bomberman is, I feel like no one is truly good at Bomberman, and I would call that a plus in my book. I feel like it's a completely even field where everybody
I'm going to have to disagree with you considering the results of that tournament this week.
Well,
giving away who won, the winner won quite handily, quite regularly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're curb stomped us. So, I mean, like, but I think it's more like Mario Kart, right? Like, you can be good at Mario Kart, but you can only be so good. You cannot insulate yourself from the randomness and other issues, because that's the way the game kind of, like, in Bomberman, it's not quite, there's no, like, rubber band, you know,
true
mechanic. I mean, yeah. that drags, yeah, there's no, like, blue shell or anything, but
I think what it ultimately is that no one is immune to their own hubris in Bomberman.
Absolutely.
It is entirely possible to be your own worst enemy at the worst possible moment.
I cannot tell you how many times I have just immediately fenced myself in with explosives of my own design. Like, it just, so quickly, just boop, boop, boop. That's it.
And then one of those was you went down into, like, a corner that was, like, four blocks down with no dodging space, and I just followed you in and planted one of the eggs. It's just like, okay, yeah, you made your choice.
That's what you're supposed to do.
That's right. And it's also what's cool about it does one of the things with multiplayer games that I really like, which is where the power-ups can become overpowered in a way that is to your detriment. So, like, if you collect too many of the explosion widener things, like, fires, you can very easily put yourself in a situation where you cannot escape the blast no matter what you do.
Most likely you're going to get too many skates and then overcompensate when trying to do, like, a multi-bomb chain and then just pinky toe into a flame and then just incinerate and swear.
It's like doing one too many speed ups in Gradius, where you're just like, this is too much.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many of those little mini scenarios, you know, that you can run into if you're not careful, and you do have to be extremely careful.
And in that sense, it's really nothing like Mario Kart, because I don't think Mario Kart would ever, like, punish you for picking up a certain item, because you don't really have much of a choice what you get.
I mean, the number of people I see who shoot themselves with green shells would disagree.
Yeah, I guess still make a good point. Thing, yeah. You still make a good point, because there is an upper limit to this whole thing. Like, yeah, you really can screw yourself over, or just have, you know, that sort of randomness or chance or whatever do you in eventually. Because even, like, in the, you know, the typical Bomberman game, you know, after a set number of minutes, you know, the arena starts closing in on you, basically, in some variations.
Sudden death happens.
Yeah, yeah, that. So,
yeah, that's how a lot of our matches tended to end.
It's a
Kumite. This game also adds the dinosaurs, right?
Actually, I think these came a few games before that. Like,
yeah,
one of the TurboGrafx had them.
Okay. They weren't quite so dinosaur-y in the previous entries, but Louis have been around.
Were they also like the things where you get like the little baby dinosaurs and the like middle-aged dinosaurs?
That is a Saturn Bomberman thing where they actually will upgrade the more eggs you pick up.
Yeah, it's so that's something that was from the PC Engine versions, right? So
I know it was at least in Super Bomberman 3. I think it existed prior, but I know it was at least there.
What was this thing with the Super Nintendo? We're like, you got to be riding a dinosaur sometime. Like, it's going to happen.
Well, it was also sort of a Hudson thing, too. You got cavemen and things. And
that's true.
Caveman type of things.
Yeah. All right. So I guess we can move on to ranking unless there's something else that anybody wants to say.
There is one more thing. There is a second single-player mode. And actually, I guess technically you can say there's two others. Single-player in the traditional sense is co-op, which is probably as haphazard and dangerous as that sounds, given that it's Bomberman. But there's also a different game mode called Master Mode. And Master Mode is basically kind of like a time attack boss rush sort of thing. And it features a bunch of bosses that are not in the main game.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot
of
value for your dollar.
But I will say, though I'm partial to single player Bomberman, I don't like the boss fights. It just seems like needless.
Yeah.
The final boss of Saturn Bomberman is pretty great, though. You find yourself on the highlights. Top of a skyscraper with a giant robot that destroys the floors under you as the fight goes on. That's true.
So there are highlights. There are, exceptions to the rule, my rule.
Ray, I'm guessing that as the single-player campaign unfolds, that it does introduce some of the weird little wrinkles that the multiplayer stages do, or does it have its own complications?
Oh God, I'm kind of drawing a blank. Maybe Word has a better idea of that, but I mean, for the most part, I think the levels just kind of go on their own sort of like gimmicks, basically.
Yeah, like the first area, which is like the theme park area, it doesn't have any particular gimmicks, and the multiplayer stage reflects that. It's pretty much the straightforward stock stage. Whereas in the second world, Samurai World, they call it, there are these like big bamboo shoots where if you hit them with a bomb blast, they start wiggling. If you touch them while they wiggle, they'll actually like propel you in a direction.
Oh, I just thought of something about the single player that really bugs me. In this game, you have lives, as you'd expect, and the problem is both players share lives, so if you're not good at Bomberman, like some people I'm not going to name who aren't me, then you're basically screwing up the other player and making things harder for them, and that sucks.
That's true. That's a weird oversight. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the spirit of Bomberman really is like enmity between comrades, like just enraging friends and turning them against each other, and like, I'm never going to play with you again.
Which means that the co-op element is perfect.
Yeah, so it's like
yeah.
This is too cooperative. How can we make this so the players will hate each other forever?
Yeah, I guess
that's I know exactly what we can do. And it's years before we'll get stuck to making Mario Party.
Yeah, that's true. Mario Party is this pretty much the same spirit. It's like,
and the last one, and Hudson's last game was Mario Party 9, and then they died. Yeah,
ruined friendships and families. So then in the Samurai World, they don't do like the like weird like tatami floors that you can lift up and then knock a bomb away or something.
They block blasts in the multiplayer. I don't think it's the same one. But it might be. We didn't get very far in there because Bob kept dying.
Okay.
Thank
All
you,
right.
Word.
See?
Anytime.
See? This is what we're here for. This is what that little bastard brings
to
the table.
It's perfect.
All right. So I guess we got to move on to ranking it then. So this being not exactly the first Bomberman game, but the first real Bomberman game we've ranked, and it's also what many people consider to be the best Bomberman games, should we rank it as if this is the... this is the pinnacle of the Bomberman series? Is that how we want to look at this?
This pretty much is, top Bomberman.
Yes. I guess it says yes.
So, yeah, I just bought the Switch Bomberman because it was on sale, and I think that might have been a mistake.
Oh, geez. There's a...
Yeah.
What's so bad about it, out of curiosity?
I don't know. I just like it. Like if it's not as good as Bomberman from 1996,
what that would be. And I'm just like thinking, and I'm afraid to say what I think it might be because that's going to be a whole other tangent. I'd rather just rank this.
So the question we got to ask is, how much do we need to future proof this ranking? How much better do future Bomberman games get than this?
I don't think they. If it sounds like they don't. It sounds like we've got two people here who say they just kind of don't.
I can stretch it a bit for the fact that Bomberman 64, not the one that we know, but the one that was like the final N64 game in Japan, the 2D Bomberman 64.
Super, super rare.
Yeah. That has, you know, that has an advantage, I would say, from just the fact that the N64 has four ports built in and has a pretty good 2D four-player mode. So you might want to look at that at some point, just on, you know, that those sorts of merits.
It's also not on the Saturn, so.
True.
I'm not to diss the Saturn, but, like, seriously, like, every time I find out, oh, the best version of this game in this series is on Saturn, just like, damn it!
Yeah.
So, why?
I've got a thought here, okay? This might be kind of high, but let's talk it out. At number 25, we have Super Smash Bros. Melee, and that's like the top king of party games.
Okay.
Well,
Bob. I just okay. You're cracking me up over here, Bob, because I wasn't even going to breach the top 100. You're like, I'm going to dock this 10 ranks because I lost and I'm bad at Bob.
You know, what happened is I wasn't on so many episodes because in the summer I'm usually pretty busy with things. And when I'm not around, people are just like, yeah, what the hell? It's like put it at like number 6. So let's see.
I was looking at 106 because I wouldn't put this in the top 100. But I'd say it deserves to be real close to it.
So 106 would put it in the company of, it would be below One Way Heroics, a game you nominated, I believe, and above Worms Armageddon. So Worms Armageddon is actually probably not so bad. If you like Bomberman multiplayer, I mean, Worms Armageddon has some of that.
Like, I've never played Worms, but my understanding is you just blow each other up and just be dicks about it. So it's like, that seems to be about on par for this discussion.
There's kind of a few of these games around here.
Maybe Worms is a better place to start. I think that you're right.
I mean, you don't have to compare it to games that are similar. It's just more like, but Worms is also kind of a pretty, it's not as huge of a series as Bomberman, but it is a similar series with like, in Armageddon, I think, is supposed to be the best one.
I will say, I think it's easier getting the Bomberman. I think that would give it a little bit of an edge.
What I like about Bomberman is that even though this is like probably like the 12th Bomberman game, I don't know exactly what, but it's somewhere in that neighborhood. 1996, yeah. So, but it's they didn't disappear up their own butthole with this. They like kind of stayed like, no, we're gonna stay true to Bomberman. Like Bomberman doesn't need to be any crazier. You know, you can add little things, tweaks and stuff to it.
They basically went wild after this with like everything else. The 3D games, I mean, and then like Saturn Bomberman Fight, which is isometric weirdness and stuff. So yeah.
Yeah.
So and it's Act like Zero happened and that got popular with Proton John.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean it's kinda like but I mean, because of that though, it's like one of those games that has this, I think, broader appeal. Although I feel like because the multi-tap thing kind of held it back. But it could have been like a really, like, I don't understand. Like, for example, like it's kind of like Mario Kart never really, it was like popular, but it wasn't until you could play like, you know, four players easily. I mean, of course you couldn't do four players at all in the original, but,
right.
Yeah. It just wasn't the same.
Yeah, the initial installment being, you know, just kind of like a proof of concept, and then a little bit down the line with Superior Tech, they just go, hey, check me out.
It was definitely fun, but when you're playing like two-player Super Mario Kart, like the original, it's kind of like Donkey Kong Jr. and you know, Bowser, like, circling each other in this giant empty, like, square. It's just, it's really weird.
How about another shot? I'm thinking, like, 91, right below Deus Ex.
All right, justify that.
All right, Deus Ex is the first of its kind. It has a lot of new ideas. Almost, doesn't quite make a genre, but it gets close. And Bomberman is good. This is good, but it's just another iteration of this concept. It's not as original.
No, I mean, it's a polished gem, right? It's something that takes what's good about a good game series and just does it as best as you, evidently as best as anyone can do it, because they haven't really improved.
And right above Deus Ex, we have Dungeon Master, which I can make the claim that without that, we couldn't have Deus Ex, so...
I'm kind of interested in hearing where our guest would put it.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, I do like the sound of sort of that 106 to 113 range, because, let me see, what was I thinking? Because not only Worms, but even Rocket League, to some degree, we can, you know, that has a lot of multiplayer fun to it, so.
Yeah, and there's like, Windjammers pretty close by, which is not, like, super multiplayer, but, yeah. I mean, then again, like, you could look at it as a massive single-screen multiplayer game. Is it, like, leagues beyond those? Because I think it would have a much lower, like, level, like, you know, barrier to entry than just about anything else. I can't think of a game that has more, like, single-screen multiplayer, like, people sitting in the same room that you could give to just
10 people.
Somebody who has any level of, if they know how to use a controller, they could handle it.
Yes. I will say that, like, short of, like, you know, PC games over a LAN, you know, like LAN gaming as of Quake and whatnot, I can't think of anything on the console that could do 10 players.
Right. I mean, yeah, you do. 10 players does make for an investment with Saturn Bomberman. And I don't even know at a glance here if there are other games you guys did that were, you know, required a multi-tap of some sort.
We've done several.
Okay.
We've done a few. I mean, we usually try. I don't think we don't factor in like hardware issues so much. I mean, we could. We could always start. There's no reason. Not a reason for it. Just
please,
we usually
don't.
You know.
No, that's fine. I do feel like getting
into a 10-player game of Saturn Bomberman is kind of like one of those bucket list kind of things.
Yeah, it's almost like reserved for cons, right? Like, you go to a con, there's probably going to be somebody with a setup for 10-player Bomberman.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, it's... Or, like, it's kind of like, what's that Pac-Man game where you can be the ghosts and chase, like...
Pac-Man Versus?
You have that set up. Yeah.
Yeah, Pac-Man Battle Royale, the two, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain games that are just, like, too good for... You know, they are kind of con staples. To me, that's a reason to push it up a little bit higher, because it is kind of this, like, there's just the idea of, like, how many people would have played it with 10 players at that time? I just don't feel like that was that many outside
of
the
content. Not me, but it was also online. You could play it online. Yeah.
Really?
It supported
like a dial-up.
Yeah, the Saturn kind of modem.
I didn't even know the Saturn could do that.
Did they have any other game that utilized it?
Oh, yeah. They had other NetLeague games. Some of the other arcade games, like the Arcade Racers. Yeah, for sure.
Wow. How could you play, like, a racing game over, like, what I'm guessing was, like, a 56K, maybe
less?
They
did it. I think some of the Saturn online infrastructure was based on X-Band, which was, you know, pretty good at the time. So.
Yeah. I guess. All right. Okay, so theoretically possible to play. No, there's no way they had 10 players going on.
No, I don't think so, no.
Dial-up internet. That can't be right.
All right, so you're inclined to put it over the 106 suggestion.
I'm just saying, to me, that's a reason to knock it up just a little bit. Like, I would...
All right. I mean, number 100 exactly, then?
Well, ooh. I mean... let's not go nuts. No, I'm just... I could say... Yeah, like, I would put it above, like, there's some weirdos in here. Like I said, I say this all the time, but every time I look at this list carefully, I always am baffled by the decisions we made. Just the courses that science has taken is just really, would say, like, what, yeah.
Remember now.
It is of all time, that's right, yeah. Yeah, I've been to, you know, I went to the neighborhood science lab, and they did not have a single coin for flipping and settling scientific disputes. I was... really shocked.
Man, what do they know?
Nothing. That's why they haven't cured cancer yet. No coins. Okay, like, I would put it above Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and below Super Meat Boy. And here's why. I don't like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 that much. And Super Meat Boy, I feel like, is, although it's not like the first of its kind, certainly, is kind of like a genre codifier. Whereas this, you know, it has a staying power to it that, you know, people still play that game. And I guess enjoy it. Maybe that's not the right word. It's about as frustrating as multiplayer Bomberman, but you can do it by yourself. But yeah, I feel like that has like some reason for putting it above there. And that puts it like a little bit below Deus Ex. It puts it below Garou, Mark of the Wolves, and Super Meat Boy, above Tony Hawk 3.
If we're hanging around in this direction, I would put it over Super Meat Boy because I would much rather play Saturn Bomberman than
I'm with you there.
Agreed. But I would go with that.
Okay. What?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. That's three. So that sounds like that's where it goes. Bomberman 32X for the 30. Oh. Saturn Bomberman for the Sega Saturn goes at, it's the new number 93, going below Garou Mark of the Wolves and above Super Meat Boy. We got to go. Before we do, where can we find you on the interweb, Ray?
Oh, yes, me. I'm on Twitter at RDBAAA. Just think of arcade game initials, and that's basically what that is. My game company's website is bipedal.dog. Buying up those great TLDs. And those are the two main things. I believe we mentioned No More Whoppers. That's at nomorewhoppers.tumblr.com. Still keeping Tumblr alive. And
single-handedly, no doubt.
Pretty much, I think so. They're okay now, I think. But yeah, that's about it.
And yeah, so check out Blast Rush.
Blastrush.com as well.
Online stores now. And do you have anything coming up, or are you still... Probably, like, you know, not that you have to make like more than one game, but
I've been working on
a hard enough thing to do.
Yeah. I have been working on the next project. It's just been really slow going because of other life stuff that got in the way. But yeah, I'm hoping to have something to show in the next couple of years. So I'll have something to talk about on the next time I'm on the show.
Great. Perfect. Thank you so much for returning, I guess. I don't think we mentioned that on the recording, is that you were like one of our, I think you were our very first like special guest on the old version of the podcast. Yeah.
Hudson still. So
yep.
That's all I'm good for.
It's funny how that works out. far away and yet we've moved almost nowhere in terms, like, it's funny because I'm still interested in exactly the same things. That's kind of sad, I guess. Maybe it's funny is not the right word for it. Anyway,
your association with Hudson, when we heard that you were invited to be on this, we're like, not the bees.
Not the Hachisuke. Not again. He won't shut up.
Hachisuke. One of the interesting things about that, so I just learned the other day that the Japanese word for honey is hachemitsu, which is just like, I guess, bee milk.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't sound so appetizing. Yeah, I don't know. It's like bee milk. But I mean, yeah, kind of what it is. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. Check out Saturn Bomberman next time you're at a, I guess, video game convention. And we'll see you later. That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our booking agent Jeff Rude, our theme song MC Norm, check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101. I know I did. By subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel, and by following at GC9X and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HD Discord. But most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it because you like us and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.